Well, it's good to see you all still like each other. It's good. It's good. After the break. It's good. Well, as we begin our sermon time, my name is Dave Parton, the pastor here, and it's my joy to get to speak to you guys most weeks about just the truth of the Word of God. We stand on it. We rely on the truth of the gospel to be what we lean on, what we direct our lives with, how we choose our spouses if God directs us that way, how we raise our kids, as we desire for our careers. My hope is for 2024 that we desire that. We desire that the gospel informs us and directs us and guides us as we follow the ways of Jesus and follow ways of love and care. And today we're going to be talking about that some. Before we get into the Word of God today, how about I pray for us, pray for the year for a second, and just pray that God's Word is our guide and our light. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you have sent the Scriptures to us through your prophets and through Christ and through the writers of the New Testament and Old Testament. I ask that you would continue to show us the satisfaction, joy, the light that it does provide if we would be willing to look. Father, I thank you for the steps and just the number of people in the room that have used your Word to allow their lives to be where it is today and to recover from things, to make decisions that align with your will and your desires, and to have a life that makes sense. May you continue to do that for us as we preach the Word from this stage in 2024 here at Neighborhood Church. May the preaching team be faithful in reading, following, loving you, and listening to your Spirit as we read and study and as we share each Sunday morning. Father, I pray for this morning that your Word will guide us and that we will desire to be an impact to our community through your Spirit's power and through the truths that we find in the Scriptures. We all stand on your Word, God. And all God's people said, amen. All right, we're going to be looking at Acts 2, but before we get into Acts 2, I just wanted to just remind us for a second where we're at in a series. We paused for Christmas. We had a sweet Christmas series this year about preparing him room, and we're going to get back into Romans starting next week. But I just wanted to begin. I'll have the verses up on the screens as we normally do. And if you want to turn in a Bible to Romans 1, feel free to do that. We'll also be in Acts 2, just two places in the Scriptures today. We'll be starting in Romans 1. And like I said, they'll be on the screens. And my hope for you maybe this year, if you're not one who takes notes, or maybe you're an avid note taker, but you don't know what to do with your notes, it's kind of something special when a new year starts. And you know, we don't work, many of us are, I know there's some students in the room, many of us adults in the room aren't in school anymore, and we're not saying, I'm going to get better grades this year, right? But when it comes to church, this might be the only time that you kind of sit with like a notebook and all, you know, all week long where you kind of study. And then maybe this year for you, it's another step you take. So maybe if you don't do anything, maybe each week you write down one thing in a notes app. You write down something that you took away from the morning. Or maybe if you take notes, maybe you have a way to organize them this year that you can begin to look back and use them. Or maybe you're avidly involved in note-taking and following, you know, sermon series from multiple pastors. And you just find how do you best use those in your life? And you get encouraged each week that you can maybe end this sermon with a name or something. We'll be doing some of that today. But my hope for you is that this sort of like, you know, I don't know where the earth started when we started counting days, but we're back to there again, you know, as we get to fly around the sunshine. And my hope is that we all just desire to be better. Like, we desire to get a little better, and not for our own glory, but because Jesus Christ makes us more like himself. And that's better. We become more like Jesus. That's better. So just some intro words there as we begin today. Romans 1:5 says this. We've studied this already in our Romans series. It says this. Through whom there is Christ Jesus our Lord, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Pretty thick sentence there. Through Jesus Christ, we've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to just review some of the key things that we stand on here as a church. I mean, many churches do lots of things. We've chosen to have a mission statement and three words that are our core values, and we're just going to be reminded of those today. And when I was reading this passage with Josh Myers, this passage popped out to me. Hey, that's like be blessed, belong right there in a sentence. And I just want to show that to you guys because I do think this is where we're going this year. And as we continue to stand on these values of be blessed, belong, that you can see in the beginning, it says we've received grace. When you receive grace, that's a phrase in the scriptures. When you read that, receiving grace means receiving forgiveness of sins. That means receiving faith in Christ, that you've received a new identity as a follower of God. And that's what they're saying. The being, your identity has changed from a dead person to a person who's alive. As those in my guy's table, we talked about that today in our men's breakfast. That once we were dead and now we're alive. This is a transition of being. And that's one of our values, that we're satisfied children of God. Our identity's changed. And then the next part there, it says, the apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. That means that there's a faith coming to more people other than just us. That there's nations or there's people around us, if you will. Maybe neighbors. We could say from neighbors to nations. That's what Neighborhood Church wants to be about. That not only have we received grace, we desire that others will receive grace. We call that to bless others with the gospel. That's the word and deed. That's to love people and care for them well, but also care for their soul and care for their eternity, that we would be a blessing. And lastly, it ends with including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This idea of including and belonging to Christ. There's this belonging to Christ, but when we collectively belong to Christ, we are the church. We are together, and God wants us to be a people who are intertwined in multiple facets. But one is that Christ is the head and we are the many body parts that get to use the gifts God's given us. And as we belong together, we're more, much, much more like Jesus together. So be blessed, belong. Those are our three key values. And as many of you know, on the front and the back of your bulletin, we have this mission statement, to love God and our neighbors together. So let's just break this down a little bit more before we get into our Acts passage today. When it comes to being satisfied as a child of God, as a church, like this is who we are. Many of you guys have joined our church. You've become members of our church. Some of you guys are in process of becoming members of our church. Our being here at Neighborhood Church, it's because we've received grace from God. Grace is this gift that you and I did not deserve. He chose to love us, and we accept that. We received grace, and it's all through faith in Jesus, what he has done. We've been adopted into his family. Our identification has transferred from the world's ownership to God's, from self-focused living to Jesus-focused living. There's a new king in our lives. It's Jesus. And we love and we worship. And as Rivers mentioned today, there's this awe that comes upon us that we realize that we get to be sons of the Creator, daughters of the Savior, his faithful relationship towards us. He's full of grace towards us based on his love for us, not based on our character, but based on our faith. That's B. Next, we talked about bless. It's this undeserved grace that we received, and now we can then in turn pass that on to others. It's in a way, it's a guide, like, oh, I've received this. Oh, other people should also feel this kind of undeserved love that I can now love and care for and forgive other people with no strings attached. I love you because God loved me. I don't love you because you love me. I love you because God loves me, not because you love me. What a community to live in. And we choose to keep our eyes We choose to look into the darkness. We don't look away. We look into the darkness because we have hope. We have light for other people because we know that our lives have been changed because of hope and light. And most of us in the room have somebody who chose to look into the darkness of our lives and said, there's hope for that person. Praise the Lord for that, right? And now that we can in turn be a blessing and be that towards others. We walk towards the light and neighborhood church. We want to be a blessing. We want to be a lighthouse that shines forth all around Overland Park and in our communities. And thirdly, we talked about belong. And as we read church history, this bringing about of the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom. It's a nation, if you will. It's a people group. It's a plural word we call church. It's not a building. It's a group of people. And that's what we are, everyone who's received Jesus. We're connected. And that's why we have the word together. We love God. We love our neighbors. And we do it together because we belong together. And the New Testament's full of teachers and Jesus even, you know, just saying, be unified, care for each other. And why does that have to keep being reminded in the New Testament? Because we don't do that well, because we want our way. But what if neighborhood church, what if we do community differently? What if we do it in a way where we care that we are together and that together is so important that we will be willing to lay down our own desires sometimes for the greater good of the unity of the spiritual family? We celebrate each other. We mourn with each other. We care when people get hurt or sick or people need McDonald's, Ray. We give it to them. You know, it's like, well, happy to pick you up a burger and some fries. Thank you guys, so many who signed up for that. He's so going to enjoy all those burgers and fries this week. It's a connection that we choose. It's a covenant that we choose. And once again, it's because God loves us that we choose to love each other together. So today I want to spend some time looking at our values, and we're going to look through probably one of the sweetest, most innocent times of the church. And it's the newest time of the church that we find in the Bible in Acts 2. So you have a Bible, you can turn there, Acts 2:42 through 47. And if you need a Bible, there's Bibles under the chairs. Take a Bible home. If you need a Bible, that's a gift from us to you. In Acts 2, what's happened just prior to that? Well, we had Jesus Christ teaching for 3 years. He was crucified on a cross. He was taken down from the cross by men, put into a tomb by men, but then he rose from the grave in power. And he spent, you know, 40 days or so being seen by 500 plus people, teaching, and then he ascended miraculously into heaven. And Jesus Christ told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Something special is about to happen here. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Day of Pentecost. And on that day, Peter preached. And it was like a backwards Tower of Babel. He preached in one language, and everybody heard in their own language. And 3,000 people got saved that day. And that community that lived in Jerusalem began to meet together. And that's what we get to read about in Acts 2:42 through 47. How did they act? We're going to look at this today through the lens of our three values. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders inside were being done through the apostles. And all believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So let's just look into this through the lens of our values and see kind of what gets highlighted. And actually, did some pre-work for us. So if you go to the next slide, like, look what gets highlighted, right? There's some B verses in there. They devoted themselves to teaching, right? The teaching of Jesus and the fellowship of one another and the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles and all who believed. That's a group of people who received grace. And they're devoting themselves, the people, to the apostles' teaching about the ways of God. And in 47, their response was they were praising God. They were in awe of what God has done and that they were saved. They were brought out of darkness into light. So our question today, the first one, how do you hope to grow in your devotion and love for God this year? Beginning of our mission statements is loving God. So as we begin 2024, maybe you have a notes app. I don't know. You probably take notes different ways in your life. Maybe write this question down. How do you hope to grow in your devotion and love for God this year? There's a lot of ways to answer that. It could be a word. It could be a phrase. It could be a person's name. It could be an event you go to. Question one, how do you hope to grow in your love for God this year? It's pretty big. It's kind of the greatest commandment, right? Love God with everything you have. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I would say to begin with, if you're in the room and you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, I would hope that this first thing would you like that you would say, I would start loving God in 2024, maybe starting today. How do you love God? How do you start loving God? Well, first you must believe that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and to raise in power and to be with you for the rest of your life and that he would be your Lord, which means he would be your boss. He'd be the one you follow. He would be your leader of your life. And some in the room have done that and some in the room haven't done that. And I would say, if you want to follow God rightly, we must begin here. Give your life to Jesus. Be saved, just like we read today. There were people in town that saw the way the early church was living, and the Lord increased their number in salvation because of the joy and love and response. Maybe that's why you're at church today. Maybe you've seen something special about somebody, or maybe you're in a family, or maybe you're a friend invited you, or maybe you've been coming for a while. You just like it here, but you haven't taken that step yet. My hope is, what a great day to start a relationship with Jesus is the first Sunday of 2024. But if you're already a believer, I would say a couple categories that helps me think about this is, one is to stop something. And normally I have at least an answer or two for both of these. And to start something. So to stop something means what's in your life that's kind of like a hindrance to your faith. What's a hindrance to other people seeing God in your life? Maybe it's your language. Maybe it's what you watch and what your eyes see. Maybe it's what you think about. Maybe it's places you go. Maybe it's a habit you have you've been trying to get rid of. But you must begin by saying it out loud or writing it down and maybe communicating with somebody you trust and say, I want to stop doing this because I want God to be number one in my life. And this is messing me up. It messes me up for weeks when I do this kind of stuff. And I know some of you in the room right now are rejoicing in victory because you've experienced this in a major way in your life. I would hope that this room be full of people. I have plenty of areas that I rejoice in, that I've stopped, and I've got to run faster for Jesus because of it. The second part would be starting something. What do you need to start doing in 2024 that you would love God more? That your desire, your devotion to God would increase if you started doing this? I mean, sometimes the easy ones are if you're not reading your Bible, do that some. Start somewhere. If a year ago, maybe you guys some remember this, I talked about prayer. I said, let's pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Some of you guys still do that with me. You've told me. I wake up and I say the Lord's Prayer from 365 days ago. It's a great way to start the day. And I wasn't doing it prior to that. But I said, I want to start doing something this year. And I tell you what, guys, what a way to center your day is to slowly say the Lord's Prayer. With our student ministries, we started printing them out. We say it with our ministries back there with the guys. We want this to be part of our lives, but sometimes we just have to start some good new rhythms. Maybe for some, it's you don't know any lost people. You're in the same kind of crowd of people all the time. Maybe you just need to start going somewhere new and meeting some strangers where faces can become friendships and friendships become a spiritual family to you because of your life being the light in their lives. This is mine. I want to start this year. Be around more people that I don't know yet. I love you guys. I really do. but I don't want to see you as much, right? It's like, I want to go be in some places that I don't know people. And I want to do that because I love you, right? That makes sense. If you don't understand that, come talk to me after. I'd love to talk to you about that. But that's something I want to start this year. So the next value we talked about, and we have a question following each of these, is bless. So let's look at the passage through the lens of bless. 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And later we read, having favor with all the people. So we clearly know they kept their houses. They didn't become a commune. That's not what the scriptures teach us about the early church. But they lived generously. And if they heard of a need, they found a way to meet that need. And there was such a sweet community. They were like, we don't have money to help solve this. Can anybody sell something they have? Like, we find that in the New Testament. What a beautiful picture of just generosity to care. And what happened? Well, there was a favor with all the people. That there was a blessing happening, and there was a response to that, that people connected to this sort of generosity. So the question two today, how do you hope to grow in blessing and loving your neighbor this year? How do we grow in loving our neighbors this year? And I think the best place to start with this is just some names of people. So if you're taking notes, you have a notes app, however you're doing this today, like for question two, who comes to mind? You know, and if you don't know your neighbor's name yet, you could say, you know, like when I first moved in the neighborhood, the neighbor guy that mows his grass in a Speedo. Like literally, that's my story. I have that written down in a prayer book because I didn't know his name yet. I don't want to say his name, but he's my neighbor. No, it's legit. It was hot. It was a hot summer when I first moved here. My hope for you is that you would recognize that going from strangers to face, I'm sorry, going from just that face to a friend, like I know that's kind of like one of the harder parts of this, you know, blessing people. Because we can wave, we can smile, you know, and you could even have this sort of like self-righteousness that I have sometimes when I wave and smile to people that I know aren't going to smile back. You might have some of those people in your neighborhood like, yeah, once again, just me waving. I see you on your front porch, you know. But my hope is that we desire to know names because the face to the friendship normally begins with you care about who they are. And when you think through this question, how do you be a blessing? It's like you have to recognize that it starts with a relationship these days. I mean, I love the idea that we have church environments you can invite people to hear and to come hear, you know, a service and music and some teaching about the scriptures, but you know them. What's your personal ministry going to be like in 2024? My hope that it grows. That's my hope for you. Because there's a joy in sharing the gospel with people. And sometimes they join the family. But if they do join the family of God, he gets all the glory, not you and I. But we get the joy of being a part of what God's ministry is. And I hope that we lean on those around us with love. And there's many people we know that are living pretty dark places. And so be appropriate in those areas. But to care and to hear about needs and to offer, how do you pray for people on their spiritual journey is a great step. And what I found in the last 8 years living in the neighborhood is that I'll use the word religious or religion, and I'll use the word church pretty early on in a conversation. I don't use I'm a pastor, but I use those two things. Are you religious? Do you guys ever go to church? Something like that. It's pretty common. Because normally for me, I've just done something at church and I probably just said something about religious things or churchy type things, or I have neighborhood church on my chest, right? Like it's pretty easy to kind of get into like, hey, are you guys religious at all? In lost people who aren't church, that's not a weird question anymore. They can just say no, like, all right. And you kind of begin to have an idea and make some steps of like, is there a reason for that? Or do you follow up with another conversation later? Be wise, be a normal human being. But my hope is that you care about other people's eternity, because that's how we truly are going to love our neighbors. That's my hope there. All right, so thirdly, belong. Up on the screen, here are the belong verses. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. In 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Belonging, it's so important. It's hard to find belonging. Jackson and I, over the Christmas kind of break, there's a store over on Metcalf by the board game store, tabletop, called like the Brick Company or something like that. It's like a Lego store. You haven't been in there. It's super cool. But in the back of this store, at this Lego store, there's a table that's probably 8 feet by 12 feet that's like 10 inches deep of Legos. I mean, you kind of want to jump in it. It's like, it's that kind of cool looking. And Jackson has been building some certain toys, and he needed a specific piece to build this toy. It's a very small, it's a Technic pin. So it's like one of the smallest pieces that they have. And I'm looking at this vast, I mean, I assume there's a million Legos. I mean, I don't know numbers for real, but look, I would guess a million, right? There's a million Legos, and I'm looking for pins that are the size of a, I don't know, it's like a needle, like it's tiny, tiny thing. So I'm like, let's go, bro. Because you pay by the pound. It's like, Jax, we're going to get 1,000 of these things. Because they're this big. And I begin looking through, and we spend 30 minutes, dude. I'm like engineering this. I'm like, we're going to move all the Legos from this area to the pile in the middle. Because I don't know if you know about Legos. You guys play with Legos. The smallest ones are always like where? On the bottom, right? They're on the bottom. So you're, and it's like this unlimited sand pile that falls. So you're kind of, anyway, we're using all these buckets and stuff, and they're just, the guys are laughing at us. And we're having a good time. I find like 7 in 30 minutes. But I'm like, that's 7 more than we needed, like, 30 of these things. I was like, well, we're close. So I begin to take a little walk around because they have like Star Wars stuff everywhere, and it's really cool to look at. Stuff that you could never afford when you were my age as a kid. And it was like, I saw a bin underneath one of the shelves, and I was like, it's just handwritten by somebody, and it said Technic pieces. And I was like, are these to dig through too? And he was like, oh yeah, all those bins are to dig through. I pull it up. It's got a million pins in the bottom of this barrel that's this big. And I'm just scooping them out and putting them in a bucket. What am I trying to share here? I was looking for something in a pretty hard place. Now they were there, but it was pretty hard. But when I went to the Technic bin, I found everything I needed. I think sometimes we're trying to find belonging in really hard places. And I think the church, if you're like not that connected, this is a great place to find friends. Most people in this room are my close friends. I mean, we're working on it. Some other people are kind of newer for relationships, but I would say, and then most of my close friends are most of their friends are also in this room. And if you're visiting, you're like, I know you have no idea what I'm saying, but those who are in the room, like that are all nodding, like these are my friends. Where are your friends at? Well, they're all here. This is my friend group. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So when I meet people, and especially meet lots of guys in their 40s, who I like to say pretty early on in conversations, who do you hang out with? Who are your friends? Most guys don't have a lot of people, they say. Especially if you've moved at any time in your life. And I'm just like, hey, do you want like 50 friends? I can give you 50 friends in a month, but you gotta come with me to church, you know? And it's true, right? Some of you guys got 50 friends when you started to come into neighborhood church. You go to a men's retreat. How do you get 40 people to play weird board games, disc golf, and eat a ton of food together? You go on a men's retreat, right? A women's retreat's coming up. Go on that thing. You'll make 30 friends in a weekend. It's like going to the Technic bin. Why is that? Because the church and people who love one another because God has loved them are some of the best people to be friends with. It's where we find belonging. It's where you find honesty and care. People you can trust. People that you want to do life with. Like, I wish I could spend more time with, like, all of you. Like, it's, and that's like a real thing to say. So when we all do get together, it's like, man, I wish we could do this more. And it's like, I'm glad heaven is like that, right? It's like, that'll be fun, right? So the question for belonging, as we read these beautiful stories of people believing and were together and had all things in common and they shared food together all the time. How do you hope to grow in belonging together in your church family this year? One thing we talk about in our staff meetings and with the elders or leadership is we can't make people become friends, but we can build Technic bins, right? We can build some environments that people might come to that we can like play a big like game show game with barbecue where like 50 dudes can like yell and scream and shoot Nerf darts at each other and it'd be cool, right? That was cool if you got to come to that. That's a good thing. So we can create that, but we can't create the friendships. But the friendships tend to happen in these sort of environments. And like a Sunday morning experience, we're going to do it every Sunday this year, right? Barring snow and a couple other things. But my hope for you is that you would recognize that that's our desire, is that there would be environments for you to come, join into, and build relationships, friendships that are your spiritual family. Hopefully you got a bulletin this morning. If not, I'm going to put some things up on the screen, and I'll email this out to the church this week as well. But is we have some groups that I want to share, some that are currently going on and a couple new ones, that I just want to kind of end the sermon with this, to kind of let you know, here's some environments that if you want to get connected and plug in and have like people you want to lean on and care for and do belonging, do together, life together with, that you would be aware of these. Because I do think each one of these is special. I want to begin with our 8 discipleship groups. They're a discipleship group is a group of men or women. We have men or women discipleship groups where we desire to help each other grow in their love for God and their neighbors together. And we invest in like intentional living. We pray for each other. Some of the guys have even had become prayer partners within some of these groups or across the church. And this environment just is, it's kind of a unique safe space to like read a chapter of the Bible, talk about what it meant, what it means now, and how to apply it to our lives, and then pray for each other. And normally there's a text group there that if things go on, we just kind of text each other and pray for each other or need or celebrate somebody's new job. It's all kinds of things that friends do. That's what these discipleship groups are. I want to begin with the women's group. I did put the names and places on this, so you could take a picture of the screen or just look in your bulletin there that we have Elaine Munyon leading one on every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. It's here in the corner meeting room, right here to my left, right on the hallway. And it's a sweet time for women to come and study the Bible. Elaine prepares a lesson normally, has maybe a Sunday school feel, and they even sing some hymns together. It's a sweet time. Pray for each other, talk about the going deeper in the Word. So if that's something you're looking forward to, that's every Sunday. If Sunday mornings work great for you, there's consistency about that group, and it's wonderful. 9 a.m. Okay, then on Monday mornings at 6 a.m., Rivers, who did our, she's my wife, but she did our service leading this morning. She leads a women's discipleship group in small group room 2. So if you go down this hallway towards the kids, it's the one on the left. And it's just a sweet time early in the morning. That works for some moms before work, our ladies before work. And guys, I know some of you guys watch your kids, so your wife can come here and do that. I would encourage you to do that for each other. It's one reason we have men's and women's to help when those who have little kids. And then every Monday at 1:30, Lori Lori's meets with some other ladies here, of course, in the room, and they meet here at the church sometimes. I see them. Sometimes some of them have little kids, and they'll meet in the nursery, and whatever works best for that week, but it's a sweet friend group that meets if you want to join that one. Monday's at midday at 1:30. And then Maria does one on second and fourth Mondays at 7 p.m., so if you want an evening time. So that's what we try to do, is try to have this variety for you, but Maria provides us her numbers in there. And you'll recognize here, we do a lot of first and third and second and fourth. That way you literally can put it on your Google Calendar and know when it comes up. Some people do the every other, and those do rotate around, but if that's not new for you, or if that's kind of new for you in your life, here at our neighborhood church, we do a lot of first and third and second and fourth, things like that. So when the men's discipleship groups, similar to Elaine's group, Curtis Beasley runs a 9 a.m. Discipleship group in the fellowship hall. That's what we call our little cafeteria area here back here. And it's every week consistent. Read some of the scriptures and study it together. It's fantastic. I know many of you guys are involved in that. First and third Mondays at 7, Joel leads a discipleship group down the hall on the right, the small group one. It's the bigger one of the two. So that's on first and third Mondays at 7. And mine's first and third Mondays at 8:30. So Joel, if Joel's a better time for you earlier in the evening, I know that works out well. Mine's kind of late, but that really works out for a lot of the guys as well. Maybe put your kids to bed and come up here for those who want to do that. And we meet in the corner meeting room over here to your right. And then every other Saturday morning at Big Biscuit, maybe that's how you roll. Rob, our electric guitar player, man, he runs a sweet discipleship group there at College of Antioch with some men, and his phone number is also in the bulletin. So every other Saturday at 7 a.m. I go through that. One is because we've never done that. I wanted to kind of like say, like, we have these things, and you should get involved in them if you're not involved in something like this. And if none of these times work out well for you, I would love to know that. Because I lead one of those, and we can talk about what best works, because we want to be a church that literally creates environments where people can grow in their faith. And if you're not involved in a discipleship group, I want to encourage you, maybe that's the thing this year you should do. It's like, hey, I should try doing that, see what that's like. All right, then we have two new kind of things that we're starting this semester. One is a Sunday evening potluck on first and third Sundays at 4:30 to 6:30. It's at the Munyon's home, and the address is there for you. And then Jessica Nix, they're helping out. The Nixes are helping out with that. So she's the contact person if you have questions. But it starts on my birthday, if you want to write that down. So February the 4th, Sunday evening potluck. It's just a time to gather and hang out, get to know people. You bring your family and some food and have a blast there. And the last thing I want to mention is Rivers and I are going to start up a neighborhood group. About half the church started in a neighborhood group in my living room. That's kind of how we started. And then once we started doing the 8 billion things we do now, we kind of stopped doing that. Joel ran a neighborhood group for a while, and the Lord's ran a neighborhood group for a while. And we're starting one back up. So a neighborhood group, what's that? Where we talk about life, we talk about God, we have some snacks, and we pray for each other. Right? And we're going to kind of focus, Rivers and I are going to focus on discipleship, what that means to grow as a deeper disciple, live out the gospel in your life. That's what our topic is going to be this semester. So if that's something you want to get involved in, we start January the 17th. And if your calendar works out, first and third Wednesday, 6:30 to 8, I'd love for you to just come to that. Call me and sign up or just show up. We'd love for you to be involved in that. It starts on the third Wednesday of this month. And we put it the same time as the youth ministry. So you can come up here, drop your kids off. I live 20 houses away, so you can literally drop them off and show up at my house 1 minute late, which we won't start at 6:31 for sure. So, and then we'll be done enough time for you to come pick up kids, because I know the youth group, because I'm a youth worker, is never done at 8. So you can leave at 8 and be here in plenty of time and still wait for your kids to walk outside, right? So we on purpose did that. I know sometimes, as a parent of 4 kids, you drop your kids off, you pick your kids up. What do you do in that in-between time? Maybe you don't watch that Netflix show, but you come to my house and have some snacks, right? So maybe that's something that you do this year, a neighborhood group. And it's just going to be up to the first Wednesday in May. So this is going to be, Rivers and I, our neighborhood group will just be 7 or 8 weeks in the semesters. That's what we're going to do there. Okay? I would ask for questions, but that would be weird. So if you have a question, you can talk to any name on this sheet. All the people on the sheet know everything I just said. They're a part of all these things. And I'm here for sure. So just come talk to me after church. I'll be in the lobby. If you have any questions, you can text any of these people questions. You could say, sign me up, anything you want. They all know this is happening. My desire is that if you're disconnected and want to be connected and you're not connected, it's not my fault. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But there's lots of stuff to do this year. Jump in. Acts 2:46, as we close today with the sermon. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And I wanted you to hear this because this is how Acts 2:47 ends the goal of the church. And the people added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Is that our desire, church? That we would have more and more people worshiping God. God added to their number more faith, more grace, more humility, more salvations, more in the family of God, more worship of Him, His name growing day by day. So the church, neighborhood church and the global church, exists for the glory of God. Jesus is the head, we are the body. It's God's way of reminding the world that He is the creator. He is the all-satisfying one. We are to love Him and love our neighbors together. So let's be, let's bless, let's belong more in 2024. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the 7 years that we've had as a church community together, that we can have so many different relationships from prayer partnerships to Sunday morning services and everything in between. I ask that You would bless us as a church as we bless our community this year. May Your name be glorified. May our name become small. And may we build lots of healthy relationships so Your name grows. It's in Your name. Amen.